But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. You may be seated. I want to talk for a moment. I want to talk for the moment from the subject, blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. How many of you know that we serve an invisible God? And therefore, in a material world understood by many only through science, some still believe there is no God. Or you cannot know God, and nothing makes you doubt him and wonder if you know him like trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Trouble and hardship and failure and disappointment can help us or make us struggle with. I want y'all to understand that this morning, struggle with the very identity of God. The Israelites in this text this morning are having trouble in this regard. Some of them are in exile because at this time you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and some of them are in exile and others are headed to exile by the Syrians and the Babylonians. And because of their rebellion and disobedience, they have begun to question the very identity of God. If you go back to chapter 42, Janet, can you pull that up? In verse 18 of chapter 42, God calls them deaf and blind. They had ears but could not hear. They were blind in a spiritual sense. They were still walking in darkness. And even though their rebellion put them in exile, even though God had tried to talk to them about coming back to them, their darkness and stubbornness and arrogance still kept them far from God. It blows my mind. There's some young folks in the house. It blows my mind that not only young but old alike, we can beat ourselves against a wall. We keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And then blame God for our craziness. I didn't really have this in my message, Robert, so early, but I'm thinking about R. Kelly again. Somebody, you know, this is a perfect example of our craziness. Somebody told me after that documentary, who I still don't understand why the man's not in jail, but after all of that evidence, Sheila, of his abuse to women, he had a concert on Friday and they said it was packed. Now, y'all got to hear me. That's not the worst of it. They said that the young women there were screaming take me hostage. You talking about some arrogant, sinful, prideful, crazy stuff? That's exhibit A. I was like, my God, are you telling me what I think you're telling me? That the women were not saying, lock her up. Come on, somebody. They lock him up. They were saying, take me hostage. This is the blindness that Isaiah is speaking to. But my brothers and sisters, I'm talking about struggling with the identity of God. Scholars believe that even in trouble, their pride and their arrogance, the Bible says that they were deaf and blind and they were in spiritual darkness. But when we are in trouble, when life takes an unexpected turn, when God asks you to do something very difficult, we can question who he is. Have you ever questioned who God is in the face of trouble? Y'all too holy. I know I have. In the loss of relationships and friendships, who are you, God? In the loss of employment, anybody been under financial stress? I thought I heard God say go on a sabbatical, not knowing how my bills was going to pay, and my bills wouldn't get paid. I said, God, where are you and who are you? Y'all got too much money out there. Y'all don't understand. Yeah, amen. When you can't seem to make it, we question who God is. Loss of life, during times of grief, when we thought we were going to spend a lifetime with somebody and they're gone. I had a 48-year-old lifetime friend, Kelvin. You guys have heard me mention him. Gone. We were like, all of us, we grew up together. We like married folk. We said, we're going to die together. Just like I tell my wife, no matter what happened, we in this thing together. Gone. And I questioned after God saved Kelvin, why you take him away so soon? Somebody say, who are you, God? Unconsciously or consciously, we can ask ourselves at times of trouble who God is. When we are trapped between a rock and a hard place, we wonder who God is. When life takes an unexpected turn and when God has asked you to do something very difficult, you question who God is. The Israelites, throughout their journey with God, they asked themselves who God is. They struggled with the identity of God. God had made a covenant with Abraham many, many years ago, and they taunted, we're Abraham's child, but that happened a long time ago. Every generation needs to answer the question afresh and anew, who are you, God? If we go back to Exodus, we find Moses in Exodus 3. Janet, if you can pull that up. In Exodus 3, to understand this text, we go back to Exodus 3, verse 13 and 14. And we find in Exodus 3, 13 and 14, Moses, when God asked him to go to somebody who was like God to them, Pharaoh, we find Moses at this difficult junction asking God's name, who are you? In verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, who is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, and God is saying to some troubled soul today, if you're asking the question, why is there racism? Why do people hate me because of the body God put me in? If you're asking the question, after a loss of a friend, of a loved one, or employment, or you're lonely and you want to get married, or you're married and you want to be divorced. Come on, somebody. Y'all single folk don't think it worked that way, but sometimes. If you are in trouble this morning, and you're asking the question, who are you, God? God is saying to you this morning, I am. That I am. I am who I am. I'm all that you need. That's what this text is saying. Look at God introducing himself to the Israelites in this text this morning. As they struggle with his identity in exile, they've lost their temple. They've lost their freedom. They are being indoctrinated by a culture that is not theirs. They're asked to worship a God who is not their God. And God has to reintroduce himself to them. Somebody say, I came to meet God afresh this morning. God is telling them in this morning, are you in that place of trouble and quandary and suffering? God is saying, let me introduce myself to you again. God is saying in Isaiah 43, but now, you know what that now is? God had rebuked them in their deafness, in their blindness, and God had really pronounced judgment. But thank God that God is so loving that even in his judgment, he begins to pronounce grace. I said before, somebody said it, and I took it from them, but it's so true. Thank God there's more grace in God than sin in us. Yeah. How many of y'all happy about this morning? I'm so glad there's more grace in God than sin in me. So God says, but now after judgment, he begins to introduce himself again. He says, this is what the Lord says. This is the struggling with identity they were going through. God is saying, this is who I am. I created you. Somebody needs to be reminded this morning that no matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, God knows you better than you know yourself. You know the old story of a man on the side of the road whose car was broken down. He was tinkering with it, and an old man, after hours of tinkering with it, pulled up to him and asked him, could he help? And he said, you know, I'm a mechanic. I know what I'm doing. I don't really need your help. And the old man said, let me just take a look at it. He twists a couple of things and said, try it right now. He cranked right up. And as the man was riding, it was a Model T Ford. As the man was riding away, he saw on the back of his plate, Ford. Satan is bigger than he is. He has a big bark, but Satan and God are not co-equals. Satan has to go to God and get permission. And so somebody needs to understand, God says, don't be afraid. I redeem you. I regathered you back to myself. I prayed a sacrifice and an expense for you to be mine. God is introducing himself. He says that I created you. I formed you. I don't want you to be captured by fear. Yes, you're getting older. Yes, you need things in this life. Yes, I know you're lonely, but don't get discouraged.
You are mine. I have summoned you. Verse B of that verse says, you by name. Isn't it good God knows your name? And thank God he says, you are mine. You don't belong to Satan. You don't belong to your troubles. You don't belong to your problems. You don't belong to your despair. You are mine. Somebody say, I'm mine. I'm God's. I'm talking about God introducing himself to you again. When you pass through the waters, he's saying, not only did I create you and form you, not only am I inviting you not to be afraid of this world, not only am I telling you, you have been redeemed, I paid a price for you, no matter what you're going through. God says that you are mine. And then he says, I want you to know something that is more important than anything. I don't know about you, but I've been in some tough places in my life. And if I thought I was walking through this life by myself, I would have lost my mind. But then God showed up through his word. Then God showed up through his spirit. Then God showed up through one of y'all or some servant, and he said through various methods, I am with you. I share this experience because my military experience, while I'm proud to be a Marine, it was tough. And I remember going through Officer Candidate School and feeling overwhelmed, not that many minorities, and I was feeling like, I don't know if I was going to make it, and I was just all, why, God? Created you. I am that I am. I am the one who formed you. I am that I am. I am the one who says, don't be afraid. I am that I am. I am the one who redeemed you. I am that I am. I am the one who knows you by name. I am that I am. I am the one who will be with you. God says, I'm he. And when you go through the trouble, trouble. So stop thinking that you're the only one who's suffering in this world. God is saying that as long as you're in this sinful life, you're going to go through something. But what you need to know is, I am that I am. And I will be with you. Now, if I say I'm going to be with you, you need to get word, because I can't be with you all the time. And my powers and abilities are limited. Don't nobody say amen. But when God says, I will be with you, it's going to be all right, because he's not me. He's not you. He is the creator of heaven and earth. God says, to you and me in this troubled world where we go through some stuff, he says there's going to be some times when trouble's going to come in like a flood. Image of the Red Sea, when Moses had the enemy behind him and the Red Sea in front of him, and God truly made a way out of no way. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I want you to remember what God who's with you is saying to you. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, my son, I'm getting ready to say what his crazy self, but I won't say that. I mean, y'all did that more than once, because I just did one. Oh, Carrie Ann, you a bold sister. One time was enough. The text is experiencing life. That you're on this boat of life, and all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. All breaks out. I was going to say H-E double hockey sticks, but all of that breaks out, and you look like you're going under. Anybody ever felt like they're going under? God says when the rivers are racing and you feel overwhelmed, to hear God this morning. He says that they will not, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Somebody say, God will, they will not sweep over you. And then he reminds them of those three Hebrew boys who, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the furnace. Sometimes we are in a hot space in life. Sometimes it looks like we're going to be consumed by life's fire. And God says, when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. And the flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Well, I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. The Holy One of Israel. God is your Savior. Knoxville, Tennessee, and never heard of the story of the Clinton 12, but around 1953, Floyd Brown versus Board of Education case, 12 young African Americans in Knoxville integrated before the Arkansas 9. They integrated the schools in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the story was heroic. Enough to leave his white congregation and escort these 12 young African American men and women down the hill, and they beat him up. And he said that he could not believe the congregation that he from evidence in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that it looked like evil was winning, but thank God he got up. So it's not over, the songwriter says, until God says it's over. So the songwriter, as we stand to our feet and sing hymn number 52, God will take care of you. The songwriter says, be not dismayed, whatever the tide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love, abide. God will take care of you. Will you believe that today? I care what's going on in your life, but I'm just saying, whatever's going on in your life, if you'll just hold up in faith and see what the end will be, I declare this morning that God will take care of you. Come on, let's sing that together. As we stand to our feet, the doors of the church are open. Will you trust him today? Will you trust him today? Hymn number 52.
God will take care of you.
Only believe.
God will.
God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way you continue to look after us. You look after us when we're right, and you look after us when we're wrong. And we're here to say thank you, Heavenly Father. We realize we didn't deserve it, but you are our God who loves us, and we say thank you. Heavenly Father, we want to ask you to forgive us of our sins, because we realize we sin daily. But Heavenly Father, we are looking to you to keep us on the right path. And we just say thank you and continue to be with us. Heavenly Father, there are your children standing around the altar. I don't know what they need. Someone to the left may need a financial blessing. Some to the right may need their children to be right. And those in front of me, Heavenly Father, just here to say thank you. And so, Heavenly Father, I just ask you to be with all of us. We need you, Heavenly Father. We can't get along without you. And Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for introducing yourself to us again. Because we forget sometimes, Heavenly Father, who is carrying us. Sometimes we try to do things on our own. But thank you for reminding us, Heavenly Father, that you're right by our side. We can do nothing without you, Heavenly Father. When we turn the wrong way, Heavenly Father, thank you for turning us back. And we're here, Heavenly Father, just to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we would ask you to be merciful to those that are sick. So, Heavenly Father, let them know that you have not forgotten them, Heavenly Father, that you still love them too. Even though they were not able to get here, you are still looking out for them. And Heavenly Father, we ask you just again to please forgive us. It is in our heart to do the right thing, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, there are those who have lost loved ones. Some have families in the hospital. But let us know that you're there, Heavenly Father. Keep reminding us, Heavenly Father, that we can do nothing without you. We thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father. And then again, we want to thank you for our pastor, who you put in his mind to just remind us what we need to know. And we thank you for that too, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, forgive us, take care of us, and look after us like you always do. These things and others, we will pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.